Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net, where I teach beginners the skills that they need to get their first software development job building Windows and web apps for some of the world's best companies as quickly as possible. Many types of applications involve managing text, whether it be a customer relationship management application where fields of data and notes are stored about customers and sales opportunities, or a content management system where entire paragraphs of text are published to a blog or some other web-based presentation application. So mastering string manipulation is a vital skill in C#. In this lesson, I'm going to demonstrate several common string manipulations that are made easy by both C# and the .NET Framework class library's string class. So let's go ahead and start off by creating a new project. And this time I'm going to call it strings. And click OK. And so let's start off by saying that we want to write a simple string to the console window, perhaps some instructions to the end user about where to find a file on their hard drive. And so let's say that this particular string has a backslash. So we'll do something like this. Go to your C drive, and then just a console. This particular string, as you can see, has a backslash, and it's typically used to denote some folder or subfolder on a file system. And curiously, as you can see here, it has a little red squiggly line next to that backslash. You might wonder what could possibly be the problem with this seemingly innocuous looking code. However, even if you start debugging the application, it's not going to let you. It says that there's an unrecognized escape sequence. The reason is because the backslash has a special meaning in strings in C#. It's an escape character that's used to produce other special characters in commands. So to produce the desired result here of your C:\drive, we'll have to use two backslashes together, and this will produce a single backslash whenever it's displayed to screen. So let's go ahead and now run the application, and you can see it displays correctly. Again, the backslash character is an escape character within strings in C#. So let's go ahead and reinforce that and show you how deep this rabbit hole goes. So how would you produce like a double quotation mark? Because obviously we're using double quotation marks to surround and create a literal string. But what if you wanted to embed a double quotation mark inside of a literal string? So let's do this next code example here. Okay. You can see I'm kind of fighting the IntelliSense here. It wants to put something and I want something else. Okay, so that's what I was intending to get to, and I had to undo what IntelliSense automatically spat out for me. But here again, I'm trying to use double quotation marks inside of a literal string, and I'm not having a whole lot of luck. You can see that the words so-called are in black and they're not considered to be part of the literal string, and I've got errors all over the place. So to remedy this, you use the escape character, which is the backslash, before each of the double quotes. And so to fix this, we'll just put a backslash there and a backslash there. You can see now the entire phrase is surrounded by the double quotes, and it's all in red, and it gives me the visual cue that the C# compiler will be okay with this string. So this time, whenever we print it out to screen, it will print out correctly with double quotes around the word so-called. Great. All right, and so you can extend this into other types of characters and formatting, like, for example, a line return. So let me do another line of code here. String my string equals what if I need backslash n a new line. All right, notice the backslash end character that says format it, format the string when it's displayed so that it will move to the next line, kind of like a carriage feed, I guess they used to call it. Let's go ahead and start. And you can see we get the desired output. Awesome. So for more information, see this blog post by the C# team. What character escape sequences are available? And you can see a comprehensive list of all of them. Awesome. But the key idea is that an escape sequence involving the backslash plus another character is required to create some of the characters that otherwise would be difficult to reproduce inside of a literal string. All right, moving on. The string.format, as we saw a couple of lessons ago, allows you to substitute or rather merge strings inside of other strings, sort of like a boilerplate template. So in the simple example here, notice what I do. So notice the curly braces with the zero between them. This sequence of characters tells the string.format method to substitute the second parameter, bonsai, in place of this replacement sequence of characters, okay? And we've seen this before with console.writeline. That's because console.writeline also has this same functionality, the format functionality built into it, all right? So let's go ahead and run the application and you'll see bonsai, awesome. It's a simple substitution. But let's move on to a slightly more complicated example that shows how to substitute two values into a string. So let's comment this out. And string, my string, equals string.format. Okay, so you can see it's zero base, so I start with zero, and this replacement code will be matched up with the first argument after our boilerplate, our string, which will be BMW, and then we will substitute the next replacement code sequence with what comes after that, 760LI. And let's go ahead and run that, and we see our desired output. Awesome. But string.format can do more than just simply replace characters. For example, we can use it to format numbers in the various ways that we use numbers all around us, like telephone numbers, zip codes, money, dates, and so forth. So let's give you a quick example of that. So I start off with the zero replacement code, but then I use the colon, and then the letter C, and then I'm gonna do 123.45. All right, and let's go ahead and run it. And so as you can see, this formats the number, the C, colon C, formats the number as US dollars and cents, since that is the language preference on my computer. You can set the language preference programmatically as well. However, that's a little bit of an advanced topic, but otherwise the runtime will use the language preferences on your computer to properly format the numbers for a given country. Formatting a number with commas and decimal points can be achieved using a similar type of syntax. So let's do this. My string equals string.format, and then we'll go zero and then colon n, and then we'll do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and that. All right, and so. Let's go ahead and run. And you can see now we were able to format the number, the very long number, in such a way that we have the thousands comma and the millions comma, as well as a period for you know, any values that come afterwards after the decimal point. All right. So if you need a percentage, you use another similar code like so. Let's go ahead and run it. So you can see that our 0.123 has been essentially multiplied by 100 and formatted with a percentage sign at the very end. And finally, what if we needed to format a series of numbers into a string, such as a phone number or maybe a social security number here in the United States? Well, you can create custom formats using the pound sign to represent the next number in the sequence. So I'm gonna do this, I'm actually gonna mangle this the first time through just to show what would happen if you don't have the sufficient number of pound symbols or numeric symbols in place. So we'll do it wrong the first time and then I'll fix it by just adding one more. Okay, so here we go. And I'll say phone number. And there should be four characters here, but I'm only going to put three. That's how I'm intentionally hurting this. Okay. And so then I add 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. And now let's see what the output is. Whoops. It says the string input was not in a correct format. Let's see, what did I do wrong here? Oh, I forgot the ending curly brace. Okay, so let's go ahead and do that one again. Okay, so notice that we have too many numbers and it begins on the right-hand side and moves towards the left. And so it starts with 09876543 and because we have one extra value, it puts it here at the very beginning. And that's clearly not what we want because area code should only have three values. If anything, we would have wanted it at the very end. So to fix this, I'm just going to add one more pound symbol there and then run it again and it'll be formatted correctly. Great. So this is actually a small set of examples for a very large topic. For more information, I'd refer you to the MSDN help article. It'll give you several jumping off points. Make sure you look at like this composite format string and some of the other the links on this page to learn more format options for string.format. Okay, moving on. Previously, we showed examples of the string concatenation operator using the plus symbol, okay? The plus symbol, we said in the correct context, is the string concatenation operator. So take a look at this example that I'm going to build. And let's run this little application to see what it does. It merely loops through 100 times and appends the current value of I to the string and adds some dashes to format each of the values in between. Okay, so we can actually do this in a smaller line of code like so by using the plus equal operator. I.toString. And that should give us the same result. So I just wanted to throw out the plus equal operator, which means take whatever I already had in my string and then append these items to it, whatever is on the right-hand side, okay? So while using the string concatenation operator, the plus symbol, especially so many times works in small applications, there is actually a little bit of an issue here with taking this tack. When When a string is declared and initialized, it takes up a fixed area in the computer's memory. When you concatenate the string and then reassign it to contain a new value, then there's some behind-the-scenes work that the .NET runtime has to do to create a new space in memory large enough to hold the new length of the new string. So it has to do that essentially 100 times. So here's the original string. Oh, you want to add all this together? Well, I got to create another area to combine them all together. Oh, you want to do that again? Well, then we're going to have to create another area in memory and then take it and put it up. And it has to do that little dance like 100 times in this particular instance. So if you're working with a lot of strings and string concatenation, as we're doing in this example, this could impact the performance, or at the very least, it could cause our application to consume more resources on the computer than it really should. So it's generally preferred in this scenario to use a class that's built in to handle concatenation tasks like this. It's called the String Builder class. So let's take a look at, and let's go ahead and rebuild this example. So let me just go ahead and comment all of this out. Here I'll go string builder, my string equals new string builder. For tab tab, and then I'll use the tab key one more time to go 100, hit the enter key to get inside of the curly braces. We'll go mystring.append, and then so I'll append the two dashes, and then mystring.append the value of I. All right. And now, really what I should do here is a two string. You don't have to do that, but I'm going to go ahead to in this example and do that. And you can see we get the exact same results, but because we're using the string builder, the performance should be improved because the string builder was built with these sorts of operations in mind, where you're constantly manipulating and concatenating strings together. So it's generally preferred to use a string builder rather than a string whenever you have to do a lot of string concatenation, okay? All right, finally, let's take a look at how to work with some of the built-in string methods to manipulate strings. Again, there are many more than what I'm going to demonstrate here, but at least these will get you started, get you familiar with what's actually possible. So let's do this. Let's comment all of that out and move below it. And so string my string, and I'll just type in the opening line to one of my favorite songs. And then I'm gonna go my string equals my string dot substring. And then I'm going to give it the start index. So start at position 5 and then substring 14 characters. All right. And then let's go ahead and print my string, and we don't need this anymore. Like so. And let's go ahead and run. So notice what happened here. We were able to use the substring method, and notice that it was baked into strings. So it's one of the superpowers of strings. It's just automatically there no matter whether you want to use it or not. Every string has this function, as well as some others we're going to look at, so that we can say start at this position in the string and then return so many characters to me. So in this case, we just took 14 characters out to print out summer we took from that longer string. So we can pull from inside of the string, and notice that it's the fifth index is actually the sixth character. It is zero based, just like arrays are. Okay. All right, so let's do this now. Comment this out, and this time I'm going to go my string equals my string dot to upper. What do you suppose this will do? Let's go ahead and run it and see. Notice that it took the entire string and it put it in all uppercase. And so this is particularly useful whenever you're comparing text that a user typed in to text that you're anticipating, and you need to evaluate the two. So did he really type the word yes? And if so, we don't want capitalization to be a problem here. So we capitalize both whatever the user typed in, whatever whatever value we're expecting, and then evaluate the two in an if statement, for example. So it's just making sure that we're comparing apples to apples. All right. One other thing we want to do here. Let's use the replace. And so what we want to do is replace all empty strings, and we'll replace them with two dashes. All right, so now let's run the application. So the replace method allows you to search through an entire string for one or more characters and then replace each instance with one or more characters. So in this example, I'm simply replacing all the blank spaces with double dashes. And I'm doing this for no good reason other than to demonstrate the utility of the replace method. Now, I use this replace method often whenever I'm massaging data from one source and I need to save it into a different target and I need to change some things. I need to look through and see if there's any special encodings that were in that string, whether it be from a text file, an HTML file, or whatever, and I want to change the values inside of it. So I'll do some searches, I'll remove maybe things that are not useful for the new purpose, but replace allows you to do that. All right, and then let's do this, and this will be my last little trick. I'm actually gonna add some characters to the beginning and the end of the string, of the literal string, okay? And then what I wanna do is this, my string equals string.format. We're going to kind of tie a bunch of these things in together all in one example. Okay. And because I don't like long lines of code running off the end of the edge of my visual area, I'm going to actually separate these to the next line. And this is something common I'll do. In fact, sometimes I'll just go ahead and separate all of the arguments, the input arguments, onto their own lines. I may even take this first argument to be consistent and do that as well. It's really just kind of depends on what you want to do. But at any rate, notice what I'm doing here. I'm going to print out the length of the string. So I'm simply going to use the length property of my string. And then I'm going to use this trim method and then look at the length. And the trim method will trim off any extra spaces at the very beginning of the string and at the end of the string. And so what we're doing is I want to show a before and after. How many characters did we have before we chose the trim method? And then how many after we executed the trim method on our string? So let's go ahead and run it, and then I want to point some things out. Okay, so we eliminated three extra characters, one before the string and then two at the very end of the string. We trimmed them off, and we got 43 characters instead of the original 46. Okay, and so one of the things that I want to point out here is notice the syntax, how I'm able to call the trim method. Now, because the trim method actually will return back a string, you can see that string, string.trim, it removes all the leading and trailing white space characters from the current system.string object, and it'll return back to you the string without those leading and trailing white space characters. Since it returns a string, I can chain it together with the next property of a string, which is length. And so I can use this chaining, and I will do this throughout the remainder of the series. I can chain these commands together in order to be very expressive and do things more compactly in a single line of code, where it may have taken several lines of code and some manipulation of copying this, copying that to a new variable, and now printing it to screen. Okay, I'm just doing it all in one shot here. So don't let that throw you. As long as the method that we're calling returns the same value or some data type, that we can still operate on it by chaining the next method or wherever the case might be together. We'll see it again. Don't worry if you don't get it in this first pass. Just wanted you to see this for the first time. Let's see it in action. I think we already did this, right? Okay, yeah, we did. Great. Okay, so as I said earlier, these are but a smattering of all possible string manipulations. However, this short list that we've gone through should serve you well. I would encourage you, before you go off and start writing a lot of lines of code, working with strings, manipulating strings, to take a few moments and review the methods of the string class. Chances are there's already a method or two that can, at the very least, speed you along your way. I've seen people write some elaborate code to perform some string manipulations when all they needed to do was call a single method on the string class, just because they weren't familiar with what was available. Okay, so we're doing great. We're going to do the same sort of treatment to the date time data type in the very next lesson. We'll see you there. Thank you.